Welcome back to our middle school podcast. This is actually episode 15 of our podcast journey. And again, I appreciate you joining us for this series. We're always after feedback, particularly as we head into towards the end of the year. So if you have some feedback for us about our podcast, or perhaps topics that you'd like to hear us address in the podcast, please drop us an email or pick up the phone and give us a call, and we'd be happy to take on those messages. Today, we're talking about confidence. And when the college devised its own social-emotional learning framework, we tried to respond to what we knew about the adolescent journey and the developmental needs of our young men. We know that during the teenage years, confidence of the boys and girls can take a bit of a dip. So under the self-awareness section of our SEL framework, we deliberately included these competencies. One, to accurately recognise one's own strengths and limitations, and two, possess self-efficacy and self-esteem. And we did that because we needed to respond to, as I said, what we knew about adolescent young men. Joining me on the podcast today is our Year 9 coordinator, Mr. Peter Simpson. Thank you for joining us, Pete.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
First time, you lasted 15 episodes before you got into it. How many of the previous 14 have you listened to?
I think it's zero. Sorry.
Okay, right. Yeah, no worries. You're going to wait till the holidays and
yes.
I'm assuming, yeah, hit them all in one hit. Thanks for joining us. So we're talking about confidence. In a lot of ways, you're a perfect person to have for the podcast, because we work with, year eight, and particularly for you, year nine boys, and you would see firsthand how important confidence is for a young person, and for those who don't have it, what those limitations might be. You're a maths teacher. What role do you see confidence playing in the maths classroom?
Oh, it's absolutely enormous. And without it, there's absolutely no growth. In fact, what we see in year nine is students fall back that don't have that mathematical confidence. So my job at the start of the year is, build relationships, have expectations, positive expectations that, this is the year where you'll change your mind, the neurons network better, and that if it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen this year. So I sort of really plug that with them. We set smaller goals to start with, we achieve success, and then we go again. So it's really important that realistic setting of goals, and really when we achieve them, go, yeah, fantastic, and then we reset goals again.
It's so much about mindset, isn't it?
Like, if
absolutely a positive mindset is
what happens. Confidence. If we don't have that positive mindset, if we don't have that confidence, teacher, whatever subject is, starts with that new topic. Basically, the student hears blah blah blah, and they see numbers, letters, but it's not making any impact on them at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'd say, taking that little microcosm of the classroom and expanding that into life, as adults, we look at something and we go, I can't do that, right? And, that's probably my first reaction normally. But because I've had a little bit of success in a few other fields, I go, let me give this a go, all right? And that's what we want our students to be doing, is when they get to that new endeavor in life that they don't know anything about, they have that confidence where they can, learn. And if we're not learning these days, and we're not looking at new ways of doing things in the modern age, we just obsolete.
Mm. And so the growth mindset's so critical, because how often would we hear kids say, I don't like, English because I'm just no good at it, or I don't like maths because I'm just no good at it, and they're behind the eight ball from...
Correct.
From the beginning.
Yep. And that's a really good point. That's one of the conversations as teachers we're having with students. And, I can't do algebra,
yep.
I can't do English. And I'm going, well, with that mindset, of course you're not going to be able to do it.
Mm.
And it's about our job to chip away at going, here are the things that you can do, and here's the next thing that you need to be able to do.
Mm.
So it's an actual fact, you can do these things, rather than going, I'm giving up on this.
Mm. And I guess in the teenage years, confidence is so intrinsically linked to self-esteem and the way they self-image and the way they see themselves, and being a, you know, a big period of developmental change cognitively, it's also a big physical change. And there are plenty of teenage boys do not like the way they appear and struggle with that. And part of that is linked to having success, feeling like, no, I've got this, and not letting the doubts creep in. So we want to look at what advice do we give to, you know, to teachers, and what advice we can give to parents who are listening to, about how we can develop confidence in our young men. I stumbled across an article by Phyllis Fagel, and we've looked at her work previously on this podcast, and this article is entitled Three Ways to Boost Middle Schoolers' Confidence in the Classroom. And I think it's applicable outside the classroom as well. So we might have a quick chat about these. The first one she says is that we need to tamp down the pressure. She says tweens don't do better when they think the stakes are really high, and brain scans show that they can't prioritise or strategise in the same way that adults can. So putting them under high pressure stakes all the time, be inside the classroom or in a social setting or whatever setting, isn't always the best for their confidence, because they're not fully developed to do that. And you sort of talk about that, about it's got to start small, the growing of confidence. You've got to build those foundations before you start putting them into something that they're not going to be familiar with or not being able to do.
Just to take that further, that's just setting unrealistic expectations. So, you know, if I've got a C student in the class and saying, yeah, I think you could be an A, you know, and not break that down, they're going, you're kidding, I can't be an A student, right? But what I say to a student, it's a C plus, B minus, right?
Yeah.
You get to that point and then you go again.
Yeah.
And the other point I think that you raised there is, you know, learners and everyone to function at their optimum, they need to be fairly relaxed, right? So you can't be feeling like, yeah, the teacher is putting all this pressure on me, or mum and dad are putting all this pressure on me, that, you know, it's unrealistic, okay? As a parent, I've had conversations, particularly with my son, as he was going through school, and, you know, I'd be saying, look, I see you as pretty smart, and he'd be going, well, no, I don't. And then he'd give me examples of boys in the grade who, you know, he felt were much smarter. And he was, you know, in lots of ways, he was correct. And, you know, at that point in time, they were, right? And I'm saying, well, you know, that's just a point in time. It's all about the growth, right, of you as a, not only academically, but socially, right, emotionally. It's about that growth journey you've got to go on. Yeah, it's okay to realise your limitations, but don't think that's all I am. You've got to be on that growth curve, and you need encouragement, and you need, when you're young, some people setting, you know, adults setting those minor goals that's for you.
She mentions in her article that Ivanhoe Girls Grammar have a failure week, so they celebrate failure, and they get teachers standing up and sharing their biggest failures, as just as a way of, you know, saying it's okay not to be perfect all the time. Do you want to share with us your biggest failures? Oh, not enough time.
The list is long and
So number two on her list is to talk to kids above their age and above their maturity level. And whilst she, you know, obviously says middle school is not for high schoolers, we want to aim high, and we want to be able to engage with the boys and model that maturity for them as well. And so I think that's an important role we play with our year nines as well. They're looking to have more mature conversations, and our parents would sense that at home, that there are times for year eight nines, maybe less so sevens, but for some it would be applicable, that you can sit down and have a really meaningful, authentic, mature conversations. And the more exposure we get to mature conversations, I think that fast tracks that levels, that sense of identity, and I'm, you know, I can be accepted here, and I'm growing appropriately.
Yeah, as a year nine coordinator, one of the things that happens very frequently through the year is I sit down with a student who, you know, for whatever reason may not be doing the right thing, And the conversation really properly starts. I don't want to treat you like a little kid, all right? Mm. So, and I want them to acknowledge that if they changed their behaviour, we don't have outside forces like myself, parents, etc., having to intervene, that they have control, all right? And that's a whole new concept for them, because a lot of boys in middle school think, if I don't do this, mum and dad are going to get me in trouble. If I don't do my homework, the teacher's going to get in trouble. Whereas my mindset said is, all right, if I don't do homework, this is for them, if the student doesn't do the homework, they're not hurting anyone else other than themselves, right? And, you know, that's what we've got to get through, is that take up of responsibility or self-responsibility. Okay, and that is such a growth pattern for them. It's such a mind shift that they go from someone else is externally controlling me to I'm taking responsibility for myself.
Yep. The third one there, she says, is start with small exposures. And she's an advocate for kids, particularly in the classroom, but away from it as well, learning through successful risk taking. So taking a chance. I'm not talking about negative risk-taking here, and she's not advocating for that at all, but there are ways that kids can take, just sort of push a little bit more and take a risk with something, and that would certainly apply in mathematics.
Oh, absolutely.
And you get a sense of reward for successfully putting yourself out there and taking a risk, but it's got to start with small exposures.
So in the maths classroom, you know, a question goes out, whether it's written or oral, and pretty common response is, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to start it. And, you know, early on in the year, you know, I can scaffold that. So they have little footholds that they can pick. But certainly as the year goes on, I'm there going, well, I know you know some skills. You've actually just got to commit to something. Okay. And certainly, once again, in early assessment, I go, you know what? There's a half a mark every time you attempt something, okay? Even if it's absolutely ridiculous. So I'm really encouraging them, take the risk, okay? Engage with it. Don't just go, I don't know.
Yeah, and that positive affirmation for those little mini things, I reckon, are critical in building kids' confidence. You know, nothing feels better than getting a little pat on the back, and even if it's over something minor, and we see that, you know, I mean, it's a pretty good recipe here in schools that if you see something that's someone's done that might be great or small, you affirm it because they're likely to go back to the well, because we all have that, you know, that great hit, that great feeling when someone, yeah, really compliments us or says we're doing something great. And I think that's when we can do that, when kids take a little bit of a risk, put themselves out there or inside or outside the classroom. I think that's critical in developing kids' confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. And out in the playground, it can be something like where a student sees something going wrong with an interaction with other students and they actually step in, or they come and get a teacher and do that, because there is that risk of, you know, oh, what are you doing that for? You know, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, take the risk, because, you know, the reward is there in itself. You know,
in closing, we're in a funny situation where we work pretty exclusively with the middle school kids, and then we see them then at the back end, and, you know, our year 12s are finishing up at the moment, and there's so many examples of guys that I just think they had that incredible growth through the middle years, and it wasn't always a clean run. Yeah, they made errors and probably had some self-doubt, but it's got to, you know, it's really affirming for us to see at the back end some really good young men graduating from this year 12 class, given where they were in middle school, and parents are probably thinking the same thing. I'm not sure how we were going to get there, but they're really good fellas at the back end, and they would have had confidence issues throughout their middle years, and I'm hoping that they're set up for year 13 and belong and beyond with that as well. What did you think about the podcast? Get you back? No, we're still going, we're still recording. Get you back, maybe. You're very insightful, Pete.
I got plenty more to say, but obviously we're limited by time.
Limited by time, unfortunately. Thank you for joining us for the podcast. We've probably got two more episodes in us before we wrap up the 2019 year. But Pete, thank you for joining us. And
you're welcome.
Thanks to the parents for listening in, and hopefully you'll be tuning in next week. Thanks and bye.